Hello, fellow nerds, and welcome to another episode of the Modern Health Nerd Podcast, where every week we bring you fascinating conversations with the movers, shakers, and innovators in food, health, agriculture, and everywhere in between. I'm your host, Teresa Sam Houghton, Chief Nerd at The Modern Health Nerd, and today I'm talking with John Deeser of Prod Health. John began his career in the healthcare investment space, but did a complete turnaround when he began to dig into the science of the benefits of plant-based diets. Today, with Prod Health, he is literally bringing health home through an app that makes healthy plant-based eating accessible to everyone. We dig into a little bit of how Prod Health works, the benefits for individuals and employers, as well as for overall health and the healthcare system, because you can't go to the doctor and have them tell you to eat healthier if you don't have somebody there to be with you, support you, and help you have that accountability to stick with it. And Prod Health offers all of that. I'm really happy that I was able to get John on the podcast. We've been talking on LinkedIn for a while, and I wanted to bring the uniqueness of what he's doing with Prod Health to the podcast and talk a little more about the benefits of having this kind of accountability, because we talk a lot about, in the plant-based space, needing to move people more towards plant-based diets, but once we get them eating more plant-based, how can we get them to stick with it? This is the kind of bridge that Prod Health builds. Before I get into my conversation with John, I just want to thank all of you for your support for the podcast. And if you're not subscribed on your favorite podcast platform, please go ahead and do so. Share this episode with somebody who needs some help adopting a plant-based diet. And also give us a rating and a review to help us bring these conversations to more people. If you'd like to get some updates in your inbox about when these episodes go out and when I get a chance to write a blog post or two, you can go to modernhealthnerd.com/news, drop your email in the box in the sidebar, and get announcements and blog posts in your inbox every week. And now, my conversation with John Deeser of Prod Health. Well, John, thanks for joining me here on the Modern Health Nerd podcast. I'm really excited to have you tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing with Prod Health.
Thank you, Sam. Good to be here. And, you know, funny to think back. I think we just got connected randomly on LinkedIn, and you being the branding expert that you are, you know, I think the Modern Health Nerd is what caught my eye. So I'm happy to jump into your network and excited to see where it goes.
I'm always happy to be nerdy with other people in the plant-based space. So could you tell us a little bit about your own background and what inspired you to start Prod Health and what you are hoping to accomplish with it, what your vision is for Prod Health?
So I grew up in Pennsylvania, you know, meat and potatoes area, playing, you know, sports, playing football, you know, standard American diet, and didn't think anything of it. You know, I stayed active my whole childhood and never really thought about anything to do with nutrition, always kind of ate as much as I could because I was always very active. After college, I went up to the Wall Street world and landed in a couple of different healthcare seats. And as I kind of came to the end of my career there, when I left, I was with a firm, a biotech specific firm, investing in anything from very, very early stage startups where it's like not even in animal testing yet, but it's still in a lab somewhere. And these companies are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're not even, you know, they're that far away from the market, and all the way up to like the Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer's. And for no particular reason, my wife and I were loving the New York City lifestyle, and enjoying all the good restaurants. And for no particular reason, we just chose to give up meat for Lent one year, just because it would be difficult. And I didn't want to give up the wine at all the fancy business dinners. So we gave up meat one year, and the seat I was sitting in, I had all of the nutrition and healthcare knowledge at my fingertips that I could read until I was blue in the face. And I started just slowly looking into nutrition because I had just given up meat, and it just opened up the world of nutrition and food as medicine. So I picked off every study and every research content that I could find and started down this wormhole of nutrition, food as medicine, plant-based nutrition. What I was doing for those just a handful of weeks turned into a complete change in career. You know, leaving kind of a cushy job, safe, doing well. And I kind of got sick of investing in these companies that our fund was doing really well. All of the stocks were going straight up. and they were charging, you know, $10,000 and $20,000 a month for drugs for conditions that were preventable. So just crippling medium and small and medium-sized businesses who pay for it, and crippling the individuals. And this is something that can tell them, we can tell them that they can change their diet and lifestyle for a couple of months and they don't have to be on this drug. So I left Wall Street world with a grand vision of changing the world of healthcare by way of food as medicine and lifestyle medicine, and got into the plant-based nutrition world, American College of Lifestyle Medicine world, and kind of the rest is history. I always had this vision of kind of this digital platform, but, you know, starting off on the ground with a web-based platform, meeting people in person, shopping with people, cooking meals with people, opening up their eyes. A lot of our users were really kind of, I put it in the kind of a third grade nutrition level, despite being grown adults. And then the pandemic hit and all of that was halted. You know, I lost all engagement. We were working with two employers at the time and we were working with about 30 people. And I lost all engagement and I had to completely just kind of crawl into my turtle shell and pivot. And we came out and we decided to just spend all the money that we didn't have and create the digital app. So we digitized the entire platform, all of the habit tracking, all of the nutrition counseling, all of the contact with our users. And we just recently launched again as a rebirth into the digital world. And hopefully that we can grab a piece of the market of, the plant forward movement in terms of, solving the healthcare problem.
It's funny, just to backtrack a little bit, the fact that you dove into all that research and did all of that reading, and I think that's probably why we clicked when we started talking, because that's me too. That's one of the reasons I'm the Modern Health Nerds, and that's part of what got me on this track too. So interesting to see that correlation between our pasts there.
And it's amazing the two things that we as humans did when we first came onto this world, this planet, was, you know, eat and sleep. And today in 2021, we've managed to completely screw up those two things. I mean, like completely upside down. So in our journey of becoming health nerds, I was reading these and I was surrounded at my job. I was surrounded by PhDs and MDs. You know, I was not the smart guy in the room. And I would look over my shoulder and like I was reading a study and look over my shoulder like I had found something that no one else ever knew before. And it was just with a cohort of 500 people with a randomized controlled trial of plant-based nutrition. And that's all it was, like lifestyle and nutrition. And it had the types of results that my current boss at the time would cancel his whole day in order to invest in the stock if it was just a drug. And those are the same types of results that I was seeing in the plant-based nutrition studies. So that's what made me so excited. I mean, I was watching hundreds and millions of dollars at the click of a button at my job. And we see the same results if you just change what's on your plate. So there is money to be made on both sides. And I'm hoping that Prod Health can be the bridge in between the broken healthcare system and what healthcare should be.
And so you're helping people to make those dietary changes. You started out, like you said, with some in-person stuff. Now you have the app. What can people expect if they download the app or want to sign up for the whole experience? I know you have it for individuals and for employers. Can you give us an overview of both?
You can go on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and you can download it and you can get into it for free. It's really without the health coaching behind it and the nutrition counseling behind it, lifestyle counseling behind it. It's a habit tracking app with a plant forward strategy to it. So we have five different journals. The main one, our core foundation is nutrition. So we have a food journal, a movement journal, a mindfulness journal, a stool journal, and then goals. So it's really all focused around food and getting that movement in, getting that mindfulness in. A lot of people, I like to talk now about the mindfulness aspect because mental health is such a hot topic now. And you've seen the digital health world completely explode for mental health for good reason. We need it. We're all burnt out. But all of the mental health unicorn digital health companies, you know, 500 million, $1 billion valuations, most of them start with, what's up top in their head. And there's all sorts of meditation and mental health strategies there, but they start up top. And when you get into the nutrition side of it, where our core foundation is the food that we eat, 90% of the serotonin is made in your gut and 50% of the dopamine is made in your gut. So, and that directly goes to how your brain is functioning. You know, that's the fuel for your car. If your brain is the car, you're putting the fuel in, and that's what that's directly driving how it's operating. So we're kind of trying to wake people up to that, where all this money is pouring into a digital app that can help me, you know, take some deep breaths and calm down, which we also include in ours. You know, I'm not taking anything away from that because we need that. But for people to become aware of what they're putting in their body as fuel, it completely drives how the brain is working. So everything from just depression, anxiety, and burnout on a day-to-day basis, all the way into what the Schur's eyes are working out in California, where on Alzheimer's and dementia. So our journaling starts with food, and then it goes to other parts of lifestyle medicine. And you can get in there and use that as just a habit tracker and look at the analytics behind it of what you eat and when you moved and when you did some mindfulness practices and how your stool was on a daily basis, and really look to see how the food affected that. You know, I know what certain foods like me and what don't like me, and how much, you know, when I don't drink enough water and when I do, I know how that makes me feel. And nowadays in America, that just people aren't aware of that. They're aware of how they feel if they drink too many beers, but they're not aware of how they feel if they eat too much junk food for 20 years. They think it's just normal. So we're really trying to wake people up on that aspect, just to become aware. And if you jump into the full program, you can get into a full program and have a health coach along with you. And you get placed into a cognitive or behavioral therapy or a therapy program, where it just depends on where we start with you. If you're not ready for change, if it's just educational, or if you're ready to change and you maybe got diagnosed with prediabetes and you say, you know, no shot, I don't want that. I don't want this. We have the solution for you. And our health coaches and our medical staff will walk you right through that to prevent that from happening, or reverse it if you do have type 2 diabetes. So we send you an at-home lab kit, and you can prick your finger, 4 drops of blood, you send it back in the mail, and all your results pop up right on the app. Everything from oxidative stress to inflammatory markers to diabetes risk to heart health. And we look at that as a whole. So it's not just diet and weight loss, which a lot of the digital health apps are, but we actually look at what's underneath the hood and what's going on there. And improving those markers and adding years to your life, not just 10 pounds off your belly, but adding years to your life, is what is driving people to latch on with us. And so you have a teammate to walk you through it and to chat with you about your likes and dislikes and the troubles you're having, set goals with you for the accountability. So it's really a health coach in your pocket, and the nerd science behind it is all on the back end that we get to look at.
I really, as a former health coach, really love this. Another thing that resonated with me when I found out what you guys were doing, not only with the educational piece, but that accountability piece as well, is a significant part of what drives success, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at January 1st, how many people sign up for the gym, and then it's over 2 weeks later. We really show hard markers of what your heart health is, where your cholesterol levels are, and we set goals. And then you have a person there, not going to the gym with you, but waking up with you, being there for you. When you can't figure out a recipe, you'll share recipes back and forth, and really make it a fun journey. People are now becoming aware, I think, that there is something good to be had here. And, you know, eating more plants is becoming trendy and becoming cool again. And a lot of people are interested in it, but they just don't know where to start. And they don't know how to do it right. So we want to look under the hood and see what we need to do. And we have the answer of how we need to do it. And we help them through that. But, you know, the interest is there. And it's all so, so very new that we need to get out and help people do it the right way.
Agreed. And I'm glad you're offering this option, because there are so many people who want to do it, but just don't have help, or they don't have access to the help, because you can't always find a health coach like next door. So being able to get it in the app store, you were mentioning in your previous job, you saw a lot of this where employers and individuals are getting really socked with healthcare costs because of these preventable diseases. You're also working in that end with employers. How is Prod Health helping employers reduce their medical costs?
For now, we're really focused on the small, medium-sized businesses. Those are the people, that's the engine of America. And, you know, that their second cost is healthcare cost. So number one, they have a really cool idea and they make this really cool product, but their first cost is payroll, their second cost is healthcare, and they haven't even started making their widget yet. And that's just wrong to me. And to think that where the costs come from, and employers are so nervous to overstep their boundaries that they just provide healthcare, health insurance coverage for their employees. And they're not realizing, especially on the small and medium-sized businesses, that's where our real bread and butter is, because it's coming right out of the CEOs and the owners of the company, right out of their pocket. And if 2020 was a little rough for you, just like everybody, and all of a sudden, you became pre-diabetic, in 2021, next time you go to your doctor, you might be getting a $15,000 raise that your employer doesn't even want to give you, because now an average diabetic costs $15,000 a year. So you went from unknown being pre-diabetic to now being diabetic in 2021. It just cost the employer $15,000. Now, if you look at the average incomes, average salaries around the country, that's a pretty big percentage of the average salary in America. And it's just paid for. The employer is not allowed to tell you what to eat, is not allowed to tell you how to go on to, that you have to go on walks in order to keep your job. So they can't go home with you, but we can. It's just a way for employers to not overstep that boundary and still prevent those costs from happening and even reverse those costs. So we work with primary care physicians as well and let them know what program they're on and actually describe medications as their cholesterol comes down or as their blood pressure comes down.
Sounds like the kind of trajectory we really need to be getting on, which gets me into how do you see yourselves with Prod Health as already positioned to improve our food and health landscape and being able to be positioned to do more in the future?
I mean, number one is we want to take 75% of healthcare costs out of the hospitals and into the refrigerators. And that's going to just drastically cut them down. That's my real goal. In terms of the food landscape, and I guess that now we can cross that bridge a little bit of getting into environmental aspects and food insecurity. It is one of the top predictors of what's going on in our climate. And without having to worry about, as the average American individual, we can't affect what ExxonMobil does. So it's really hard on as this one single American kind of sitting here, you know, looking at what's going to happen with our climate and just think that it's only due to, big oil and gas companies. And that's kind of like what people think. But what we eat every single day has as big of a footprint as any. And what you eat three times a day is more of an impact of what car you drive. When you start to back that in, and we're working with a local college in Pennsylvania here to work on a big sustainability project of if we have the ability to have the data of what people are eating and are trending more towards a plant-based diet, where it's not plant-based, but it's here's the standard American ratio of what's on a plate, and here's what the Prod Health user is. There's a calculation behind that of what that does to the environment. So I think the question you would ask kind of bridges that of what we see into the future of not only taking 75% of healthcare costs out of the hospital and into the refrigerators and giving people their money back, but also the same thing that helps their health and improves their health also improves the environment with doing nothing different. We're not creating a different business, or it's not a separate arm of Prod Health. And that really is a big driver for the grand picture. But then we get into improving the environment. All of the companies that are scrambling to figure out their sustainability scores, they can go buy 100,000 acres in middle America and plant cover crop on it just to boost their sustainability score, so a mutual fund or an investor doesn't sell their stock and they can get tax credits from the government. But did they ever think about what their employees eat or what's in the cafeteria? No. So that's one of the biggest footprints they have. And if we can start to put the data behind that, there's some people that are very interested in that. And that gets into environmental impact. Again, doing nothing else but just trying to reverse someone's high blood pressure. We're not doing anything else. And it's just a sub-factor of the program that we're following. And that gets into food insecurity, the racial divide. What kind of food is available in low-income areas. These individuals are from childhood just served sugary drinks and chocolate milk, and they don't know how frugal you can eat a healthy plant-based diet and really increase their fiber intake. And the low-income areas are just in quicksand. You know, it'll continue to separate and continue to divide because they can never get out of their quicksand, because as soon as they turn 14 or 15, they have diabetes. And that's a cost that hangs on to them for the rest of their life. So kind of the grand vision of it all. Not only are we reversing your blood pressure and adding years to your life, this is what else you just did by doing that. You improved the world around you, which is pretty powerful.
It is. And you touched on so many different things there, but it shows just how interconnected the whole food system and the health system is, how the food affects health, how the health affects the food system. I saw a post from Tyler Mayores of Cool Beans on Instagram, and it was an image that said these five companies contribute to a significant majority of greenhouse gases, and it was all meat and dairy companies. And people don't know that. It's the hidden costs.
No, it's crazy. And all of that output is improved by the plate. And that's it. That's all we have to do, which is pretty cool.
And I get the impression it doesn't require very big changes to happen. Just from the reading I've been doing, I can be a little bit less into the actual data with this just because I've been plant-based for so long, and I don't think about it because I think, you know, I'm already eating significantly plant-based. But just how few changes do you have to start making to see initial results as you get on that trajectory to being more plant forward or completely plant based?
Yeah, there was two recent studies that I saw of you increase your daily dietary fiber intake by 7%, and you reduce the chance of all cause mortality by 7%. So, and that's just 7%. That's like a bowl of oatmeal. But if you have a bowl of oatmeal, you're going to be ahead of the average American fiber intake. So if you just start there with one meal, then you're improving yourself. So that's 7% for 7% lower chance of mortality. You add a little bit, a few more percent on your complete day. You can do that every single day. You know, that's almost a responsibility you should have for your family. Like, you buy life insurance. This is life insurance. There's a value to it, and the data can show. And then there was another one of, I forget the exact percentages, but lowering the chance of death if you swap out a certain percentage of animal-based protein for plant-based protein. So it's like, there's just little switches here and there to improve it. And like you said, it's not a lot. If you like Chipotle or you like Mexican food, you know, you can build this enormous burrito that you can't even fit in your stomach with rice, beans, any other legumes, but salt, you know, fresh salsas, lettuce, tomato, hot sauce, and you wouldn't even know that there's no, you know, chicken in there, and there's no cholesterol and saturated fat and increased sodium, all of the different hormones and antibiotics that you can go on that kind of come with it. And there's little things that you can change. So in our program, we never tell someone, you can't eat that, or don't eat this, never stay away from this. We're just going to slowly introduce substitutes. And if you change just the amount, you're making leaps and bounds for your health as well as the environment and the world around you. You know, you're talking, you can still eat bacon, but you're just going to take two pieces away, keep one piece, and you have a 24% higher chance of living. And you do that on how often Americans eat bacon. So, you know, there's little swaps here and there like that we try to describe to people. And it's just amazing, the power.
So we have small changes, we have accountability, we have the potential for a longer life and lower healthcare costs. What kind of success rates have you seen in the past when you were doing this in more in person? And have you seen anything that you could talk about now? I know you just relaunched the app recently, but if you have any cool success stories you'd like to share, it'd be great to hear them.
We have a couple from earlier on. You know, again, we went into the weeds a little bit in 2020 to rebuild and pivot. But early on, we took at one company, we were able to describe, I think, 10 different medications within 3 months and lower, you know, there was a cholesterol problem. I mean, someone lowered their cholesterol by like 60%. Triglycerides were cut in half. So there was in 3 months that we really, really had good traction before we started scrambling of how we're going to engage with these people. And then we really lost them. There was drastic improvements, and then it just became too hard. You know, everyone, you know, back when this first started and everyone was in a panic when you couldn't go to grocery stores, you know, and then it became too hard to shop healthy because the lines at the grocery store, it was really unfortunate because we transformed a few lives and it was just starting to gain traction kind of with their family members and their other people around them. So hopefully we're able to now introduce a platform that makes it just that much easier We're always available. They can reach out to us as often or as little as they want. And we can start slow and start where you are and really just kind of ease into it as, you know, whatever pace that they want to go. But when they do want to cook a big meal for their family, like, we're there to help them, which is pretty neat. I'm excited that the scalability of the app really just is limitless for us, and getting it out there and just getting people to, it's really neat to see. And I'm sure in your world more to know, you can probably jump on this even more, but just the trends and the amount of interest in this way of eating or nutrition. Our age group, probably, you know, we can go back to thinking of when our moms used to try and hide vegetables in the mashed potatoes or whatever it might be, like, make sure you eat your fruits and vegetables. And it's just crazy to think that we screwed that up, and she was actually right. So it's really neat to see it coming back a little bit. And we just hope that our platform could be there to teach people and help people do it the right way and do it a good way. Because if you think about a bland chicken breast versus a piece of tofu or tempeh, you know, it's all about the seasoning. I mean, look at the Indian culture, how much seasoning that they use and the dietary habits of them and the longevity of their lives is better than here. And so if you spice things up and you can just make some unbelievable, unbelievable food dishes, we want to help people do that and not have a very, very bland, plant-based, boring experience. Because the stuff that we eat in my family, and I'm sure you as well, it's delicious and it's filling and it's satiating and it's enjoyable. So hopefully we can do that for people.
Yeah, I just had a stir fry this morning that I make stir fry rather frequently, but for some reason it just really hit the mark this morning. I was super happy. Speaking of all the different Indian seasonings, also some of the stuff you're saying, it reminds me, I had my friend Mark Rifkin on the podcast in the early days of the podcast, and he's all about, let's show people where they can make swaps. And I wanted to ask you about that. Since you are very plant forward with Prod Health, where do some of the new plant-based alternatives come into play with what you do, or do they come into play at all?
Yeah, they definitely. I mean, it's now easy to eat plant-based, right? And is it easy to eat unhealthy plant-based? Yes, right? That's why we don't go by the term vegan at all, because you can be on a Oreo cookie and vegan and Coca-Cola vegan diet. And now with all the plant-based alternatives, I mean, looking at the sodium levels and the saturated fat, you know, it's in there. Some of this stuff is kind of lab grown, you don't know what. And the food marketing as well. The food marketing is just, it's criminal what's happening. And when they throw plant-based on there just to catch someone's eye, we really try and look at the labels with people and educate people. But, you know, being at a family barbecue and throwing a Beyond Burger on the grill, that's a home run for someone that it needs that bridge. So we are all about using the plant-based alternatives as a bridge. We love to teach people more whole food tactics and strategies, because the bridge is the plant-based alternatives you can buy at the store. We try to, when we educate people, teach them about the whole food recipes and strategies there. If you look at the studies, again, the studies show that they are healthier. Are they a health food? No, absolutely not. But are they healthier? Yes. So, you know, for both ways, behavioral and just health-wise, if one of our users, one of our members needs that as a bridge, then 100% let's do it. You know, a month later, we're gonna say, okay, you know, this is not for, you know, 5 days a week here. We're gonna start to have them use that on occasion and work on some new recipes.
I'm also gonna ask this question. I have had several people on the podcast who are 100% whole food plant-based. This might spark a little bit of a debate, but where do you guys stand on the oil or no oil thing? I don't want to spend tons of time on this. I'm just curious.
So we'll start with my household. We have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Friday nights is pizza night. We're making a plant-based pizza with a plant-based cheese tonight. When we are with family members and we have cousins that are, you know, 20 cousins at a house, there's going to be pizza ordered and my kid will eat it and I might have a slice too. If there's no vegan ice cream, no dairy-free ice cream in the area, and my son in a hot summer day really wants ice cream, we'll stop and get ice cream. You know, that's pretty much the extent of it. You know, we have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old that eat 99.9% plant-based, which is really neat. On the oil side of it, I would say if someone is trying to lose weight, we just use the simple math question of, you know, a tablespoon is over 100 calories. of olive oil. So, you know, you can ruin a really good salad if you're trying to lose weight. Now, if you are a healthy weight and you don't have cholesterol problems, then yes, including some oil is fine. But, you know, and again, I mentioned them earlier, but the Scherzi's out in California doing some work on the Alzheimer's and dementia front, I think they received a lot of pushback recently because they started to incorporate and say yes, okay to some oils. And they got a lot of pushback. You know, they just follow the science and they are now okay with some oils. Now you're talking a healthy person with some oils or a very unhealthy person with some oils. If you want to correct this problem, if you want to lose the weight and you're aware of the calorie count, you're going to add some calories. So it's going to be harder for you to lose weight. If you want to, if you have a goal here, here's the solution. And if we can keep oils out until we correct everything, then a little bit of oil here and there afterwards, you know, preferably raw, organic, extra virgin olive oil is what we would like you to have. But again, it depends on where you are in your journey.
I appreciate a practical approach on that because it can turn into such a huge debate. And it sounds like you've got it nailed for especially helping people who need that bridge and need to learn the best and most balanced way for them to eat for their health. So I like that you've got that practical approach.
Yeah. If you tell someone that's just starting to dip their toe in the water and you tell them that they can't cook with oil, like you maybe lost them on the first day. They'll be discouraged. Then they won't know how to cook. You know, all of their cooking skills then will be out the window. You want to use their good cooking skills and grow them from where they are and then change them down the road rather than just prohibit their small amount of cooking skills right out of the gate. That's not the way we like to go.
So it goes back to meeting them where they are and ensuring that they can have success by stepping up and along the plant-based journey.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Just incorporating some more fruits and veggies is number one. And then we go from there. And no one really can argue that. They can't say that doesn't taste good because everyone has at least one vegetable they like. Everyone likes a good handful of fruits. So you start there and then you grow.
Well, we're getting to the end of the show here, and I always have a big question that I ask everybody near the end of the show. If you had unlimited power and resources at your disposal, and you could bring about one change in our modern food and health system, what would you do? And this really is the sky's the limit. We're talking if you didn't have any barriers.
This would be two different, two hard ones, but I think I'll go with the CAFO farms, industrial agriculture, animal farms out the door. Because I have a lot of talk with the soil, right? We have to heal the soil in order to heal the world. And by doing so, we need, ruminants and animals to not till the soil, but to rough it up and make it healthier again. And for that crowd, I recently had someone that had kind of attacked me online because they looked at my profile and saw plant-based. And I immediately offered him the olive branch by saying, okay, are you okay with the CAFO, the industrial ag farms being done with, especially in America, and transferring everything over to regenerative agriculture? And obviously they didn't respond, but because by way of doing that, if we can move just for the land use that's needed to do that and having the soil recover, you know, I don't eat meat now because of the health benefits and also because I won't kill it. I love animals and I don't want to kill one. But if someone's going to attack me for being plant-based and I'm a vegan or whatever, then I'd just say, can you meet me in the middle and agree to transition all of the animal agriculture to regenerative agriculture? And just by way of math, the land that we would need to do that, America would turn 80% plant-based and a lot of our problems would be solved.
Largely because we wouldn't be able to do the same amount of meat production. It just wouldn't happen. And I would love to return to this conversation at some point because the conversation I always hear is, well, we can't go back to regenerative ag because we can't support the current meat consumption. It's like, did you just hear what you just said? The current meat consumption, that's the problem. And so you're working to fix that problem with Prod Health.
Yep. That's all part of the big picture.
Well, I really love it, John, and I thank you for coming on and letting people know what you're doing. So you can go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the Prod Health app and get started and play around with it. And I would encourage people, too, who are already plant-based to play around with it and see how maybe you could make even some more tweaks in your diet or where your diet lands on the scale there, because how many people have a stool journal on a regular basis as somebody who loves gut health?
The stool journal is our hot topic all the time. because, you know, sexual dysfunction and poop are the two most untalked about things in healthcare, but the two of the most important. Do you want to have a successful, enjoyable bowel movement in the morning? Then it's going to change your day. And, you know, 90% of America does not do it well. So we want to fix that. And just by the relation of the food and the stool journals, we can look back at the analytics behind it and show when you had good bowel movements and then what your few days before that looked like on the food. And that's really powerful because we can pinpoint things before they turn into all those terrible digestive issues that people struggle with.
One of the top reasons people visit the doctor in this country, by the way, directly connected to low fiber intake. So where else can people find you? Social media, website?
Instagram is prod_health, @prod_health. So we're Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook for the most part, and prodhealth.com. But you know, I'm pretty accessible on those platforms, and you can reach me on any of them.
And I'll put it all in the show notes so that people can get started and they can contact you. And whether it's individuals or employers or people who really want to start leveraging the power of plant-based eating in an accessible and practical way, I encourage people to check it out. So thank you again, John. This has been great.
Thank you so much for having me.
Another big thanks to John for being on the podcast and sharing what he's doing with Prod Health and his vision for what can happen when more people adopt plant-based diets. Again, as a former health coach, I'm really happy that this kind of thing is starting to get out there. I love plant-based food. I've been plant-based for 12 years. I've been really excited about what's going on in the plant-based space. But now as we're gaining more momentum and we're seeing more interest in this on a wider scale, we really need places where people can go to get a better understanding of why adopting more whole plant foods is good for them and how they can do it on a daily basis in a way that's actionable and in a way that helps them to visualize what's going on both in their own bodies and on a wider scale, the ripple effect to the environment and elsewhere as they are making these changes. I really think that when we get that knowledge out there and we get something in people's hands where they can feel like what they're doing is really making a difference, is going to move the needle a lot faster than any kind of marketing can move it. So that's just my health coach 2 cents. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. You can always email me at sam@modernhealthnerd.com. And remember, if you really enjoyed this podcast, please share it with someone else who's interested in plant-based eating. You can also subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and rate and review this podcast. And if you'd like some updates every week, head over to modernhealthnerd.com/news and sign up for the weekly newsletter updates. Thanks again for joining me for this episode of the Modern Health Nerd Podcast. I will see you next week for another fascinating conversation. Until then, stay nerdy!